I can officially say this is the warmest, friendliest welcome I have ever gotten at any church. So thank you so much. And I love my little gift bag of goodies here. You know, you guys can invite me back anytime you want. I mean, I'm already happy. You know, thank you so much. Wow. What an honor to be here. Thank you for allowing me to come. It's just a pleasure just to be with such great people. My dad and Pastor Marty are great friends, and he is a great, great man. I tell you what, man, he not just supports me, he gives financially to our ministry. He gives his time. He gives encouragement. I mean, thank you so much, Pastor Marty, for having me come and just for being a friend and a father and just encouraging us. Man, we thank you. Thank you for all the great youth leaders here. Thanks, Pastor Ryan. Thanks, Dan. And thanks, Nikki and Aaron. Thank you. And all the other leaders, thank you guys. I just really am so glad and honored to be here. You know, there's a scripture me and my wife kind of feel for our son, and that we're having a boy. We just found out. So today's a big day. It's my birthday. We just announced that we're having a boy, and this is my first time I'm speaking in 7 times in 7 days. So it'll be, and I'm excited. So it's a big day. But there's a scripture me and my wife have been praying over our son, and when I think of the scripture and I think of someone who is already grown up and exemplifies that, I think of Pastor Marty. And the scripture is in Psalms, it says that he shepherded his people with the integrity of his heart and guided them with the skillfulness of his hand. And that's something, I mean, Pastor Marty, I mean, it's great. Let me tell you something. It's great he's skillful with his hands, that you guys have real estate, that you guys have buildings, that you have sound equipment, that you have people. But there's something that lasts beyond material possessions. And he's a shepherder of people with the integrity of his heart. And when something goes wrong in your life, when something goes good and you want someone to celebrate, it's not the building. It's who's your shepherd, who's going to take care of you. And you guys are blessed to have someone like Pastor Marty, Pastor Ryan, Aaron, and all these people. Thank you. And I'm just honored to be here. So thank you so much for letting me share. And I'm really excited for the message I'm going to share with you tonight. But before I do that, I just wanted to mention one thing. So my name's Jonathan, and I work with Basic College Ministries. Basic helps churches to reach college students by helping them start a basic chapter on a campus. So we have over 30 campuses. We're on over 30 campuses all throughout the Northeast. And one of the big events we do are our conferences. Each semester, we have a large conference specific to college students and young adults, but also to juniors and seniors in high school. And a lot of times when someone from high school graduates and goes to college, we see a huge drop-off. They walk away from their faith. But we found if we could connect them with a college group, like a basic chapter or any other group, before they go to college, not only are they do they stay with their faith, but we've seen their faith grow in exponential ways. And so we have a promo video I just want them to get ready to show about our conference coming up, and then I'll talk a little bit more about it, and then I'll preach. So if you're ready with that promo video, go ahead, you can play that. So that's our conference, March 31st. It's right at the Hyatt Regency in Rochester, New York. We got the theme from Hebrews 12:1, and it says, "Let us run." And we're talking to encourage college students, for young adults, for juniors and seniors in high school. And this is the thing. If you sign up by this Friday, it's the cheapest rate. It's literally $109 for 2 nights in the Hyatt Hotel. and all your conference fees. All you got to do is get there and find a way to eat food, and it's all taken care of for $109. And so I just want to encourage you, listen, we have two awesome bands, all right? We have an absurd amount of lights and smoke shows. We have a world award-winning speed painter coming who does those paintings in like 5 minutes. We have multiple speakers from all over the place, and we have tons of tricks up our sleeve. I mean, tons of fun things you're going to do and experience at our conference. And I just want to encourage you, Pastor Ryan and Nikki have some flyers that I want to encourage you to check out. If you're a junior, senior in high school, if you're a college student, young adult, or if you have a college student or young adult, I'm telling you, it's worth the investment to get them here. So if you're interested, I just really quick, I'll start preaching in a second. If you're interested, I just want you to raise your hand. And these two people, there we go. We got one. If anyone's interested, they just want to pass out the flyers. And I think it's an awesome event. Thank you. Just throw your hand up and they'll hand some out. I know a bunch of people from this church come, but I just want to encourage you. This is an awesome, a really great, fun time. Weekend in the hotel, a swanky hotel. It costs more than $109 to spend one night in that hotel normally. And so we're blessed to get that rate. But I just love to see some of you out there, and I'm excited for the conference. But I'm going to share a message with you tonight. The title is, it's called Love to Serve. All right, it's called Love to Serve. But before I get into it, I just want to tell you about the story I read about a terrible storm that flooded an entire town. Local officials had sent emergency warnings and ordered everyone in the town to evacuate. A faithful Christian man heard the warning and decided to stay, saying to himself, "I will trust God, and if I'm in danger, then God will save me." As the man stood on his porch watching the water rise up the steps, a man in a canoe paddled by and called to him. He said, "Hurry, come into my canoe. The waters are rising quickly." But the man replied, "No thanks. God will save me." The floodwaters rose higher, pouring into the man's living room, and he had to go to the second floor. A police motorboat came by and saw him through the window, and they yelled out, "We will come and rescue you." But the man still refused, waving them off, saying, "Use your time to save someone else. I have faith that God will save me." The floodwaters rose higher and higher, and the man had to climb to the roof of his house. A helicopter spotted him and dropped down a rope ladder. A rescue officer came down the ladder and reached out his hand, pleading with the man, "Grab my hand and I will pull you up." But the man still refused. Folding his arms tightly to his body, he replied, "No, thank you. God will save me." Shortly after that, the house broke up and the floodwaters swept the man away and he drowned. While in heaven, the man stood before God and asked, "I put all of my faith in you. Why didn't you come and save me?" And God said, "Son, I sent you a warning. I sent you a canoe. I sent you a motorboat. I even sent you a helicopter. What more were you waiting for?" And sometimes in life, we're like this man. Sometimes in life, we're waiting for an opportunity to happen. We're waiting for a job promotion. We're waiting for this relationship to start. We're waiting for this opportunity or for this and for that. And we get so focused. We get so focused. It's going to happen this way. It's going to happen through this person. It's going to happen at this time that we constantly miss all these other opportunities around us because we're focused on one thing. Not necessarily that one thing is bad, but we become so focused. In football, we call it tunnel vision. When you have tunnel vision in football where you're only looking ahead, you know what happens? You're going to get laid out because someone's going to come from the side and knock you out. And sometimes we get tunnel vision and we just look for one opportunity and we keep missing all the opportunities God has for us. And I truly believe that one of the greatest opportunities in our lives that we most often miss out on is serving other people. Is serving. One of the greatest opportunities to help us grow as people is to serve. There's so many ways to serve. There may be someone in your school who sits alone every day. All you got to do is be nice to them. Somebody that just needs you to say hi to them. Somebody at work that drives you nuts, but maybe you don't know how bad they're hurting, and you're called just to love on them. Maybe you need to serve at the church, serve at your office. Maybe you need to serve your family. Maybe you need to serve your wife. Maybe you need to serve your husband, your parents. So what? Your parents don't know everything. You can still serve them. And some of the greatest opportunities we have is to serve. In fact, if there's anything you remember, there's one short sentence to remember tonight. It's this: selfless service produces opportunity and growth. I'm going to prove to you tonight, through David, that selfless service will produce opportunity and growth in your life. I'm going to talk about David, how his heart to serve was one of the keys for David to become the greatest leader Israel's ever had, the greatest king, a great warrior, a great worshiper, to become the man after God's own heart. I'm going to show you tonight that it happened because he had a heart to serve. And I believe it was his servant attitude that opened the door of opportunity. And it was his ability to continue serving that helped him to grow to be the man he needed to become. See, sometimes we get so concerned about finding that perfect man, that perfect girl, about getting in that perfect college, about getting our finances just right, that we lose focus on so many great opportunities all around us that God is calling us to do. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you should love to serve because your life will be great. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this: that you don't have to worry so much about yourself that it prevents you from helping other people. See, we don't have to worry about being so self-promoting, self-centering, right? That we could actually just be selfless and those other things begin to take care of themselves. There's something called the law of value. I love reading business books. And one of them I read is called the law of value. And it says this: your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. So it's saying your true worth is determined by how much more you give someone in value than you take in payment. Another way I say it like this is your true worth is the difference between the value you give and the payment you take. And that's what I'm talking about. That's selfless serving, is giving more than you require people to give you. And that's what I want to talk about today, and that's what I'm going to show you with David. Let me tell you a little bit about David before we get started here. David is the guy in the Bible who was the one who killed Goliath the giant. But he also was the youngest of eight boys. The youngest of eight. Now, I'm the youngest of four kids. I only had one brother. And thankfully, I got bigger than my brother pretty quick, so he stopped picking on me because I was bigger than him. In fact, my brother used to tell people, like, leave me alone, else my baby brother's going to come beat you up because I got bigger. But it wasn't like that for David. All right, he was the youngest of eight. And one day, God speaks to Samuel the prophet. And he says, listen, I need you to anoint a new king of Israel. Go to the town of Bethlehem. Go to Jesse's house. And one of his sons are going to be king. So Samuel comes to town to have this big dinner, and Jesse, a proud father, lines up his sons. And the first son is there, and the Bible says that Samuel sees him, and he goes, oh, this has got to be the one God wants to anoint. I mean, he's big, he's strong, he's what everyone thinks a king should be. And he goes and looks at him, and then what God says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says this: but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The first thing you need to know tonight before we continue is this: that the way others see you or the way you see yourself isn't always how God sees you. You got to understand that. Before we go any further, you need to understand that you are important, that you have a lot to offer, that you can serve, that you can do great things, and that no matter what anybody else has ever said about you, no matter what you've ever said about yourself, you are important and people around you need you to serve and to love them. You may say, you know what? I'm not tall like you, Jonathan. I can't preach like Pastor Marty. I can't sing like his. I can't do this. There's nothing special about me. Let me tell you something. That's a lie. That's just not true. See, the devil is a deceiver. And let me tell you, one of the greatest threats he's posing to our world right now that I see all over the place is that he's beginning to deceive people, and he's beginning people to believe things about themselves that aren't true. He's beginning people to be discouraged and believe they're no good. That's a lie. He's feeding us lies to discourage us. You know why? Because if we get discouraged, we don't pursue the things God has called us to do. The truth is, God, the one who matters, doesn't see things the way we see them. And sometimes faith simply means this. Let me tell you something. Sometimes faith simply means trusting God that you are important, that he didn't mess up when he made you, that he didn't forget about you. Sometimes faith is believing in that. The truth is that you are important and you have a lot to offer. In fact, Jesse had 7 of his sons go before Samuel the prophet, and God didn't choose any of his sons. And Samuel was at a loss. And he goes, Jesse, is there any other sons? What's going on? And what's so crazy about this story is that David, you know King David? You know King David, the one we love, the one we all want to be alike? You know King David, the greatest warrior in Israel, the greatest king Israel's ever had? David, who killed Goliath? David, the worshiper? David, the man after God's own heart? He wasn't even thought important enough to be at that dinner. His family had him out tending the sheep all by himself. His family forgot about him. But I'm so glad that David didn't let what others thought about him affect his heart to serve. And we got to stop letting what other people think about us affect our self-worth. Because you may have a father who didn't think much of you. You may have family who mistreated you, relationships who have broken you. But we can't let those things stop us. Because I have good news for you. God doesn't see things the same way. And you may feel broken. You may feel no good, but God isn't deceived. God knows the truth. And the truth is, you are important. You are talented. And just because you can't see it right now, it doesn't mean it's not true. That's literally what faith is believing in the things you can't see. And we need to start to have faith that God did not mess us up. David seemed like an afterthought. He seemed like an afterthought to his own father, to his own family. And even if you feel like an afterthought tonight, even if you feel like you're someone's last choice, I have good news for you. That's not how God sees it. That's not how God sees you. You are important. And I want to tell you something. You can serve and you can do great things, no matter what others think about you or what others say about you. And if you continue to read this story, you would see that when David came in, Samuel anointed him to be the next king of Israel. And what's so amazing is after he's anointed to be the next king, David just goes back to tending the sheep. David quietly fades from the scene, furthermore proving his worthiness to become king. But I want to pick up the story a little bit later. David's anointed to become king, and he's serving, and some things are happening. Sometime later, I want to pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17 says this, and I need you to remember these verses. This is when God showed me what I'm about to share with you. It changed how I viewed serving. It says this: one day Jesse said to David, "Take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. And give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they are doing." David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Now, let me just tell you what's happening. David gets to this battlefield. His dad says, "Listen, can you do this for me and bring this stuff to your brothers?" And he brings it to his brothers because they're in the army. And he walks on this battlefield, and what's happening is that there's an enemy army called the Philistines, and they're attacking the Israelites. But the army meets, and it's at a standstill. And the reason it's at a standstill is because the Philistines had what they thought was a brilliant plan, right? They said, why would we all fight? You know, we have this champion warrior who's a giant. He's 10 feet tall. He's never lost. Why don't we just have Goliath, our giant champion warrior, come out, and they fight their best warrior? And if Goliath wins, then they'll be our slaves. If they win, we'll be their slaves. And so for 40 days, Goliath would come out and strut in front of the Israelite army and challenge them to fight. And the entire army would hide and cower in fear. And that's what's going on as David walks onto this battlefield. And if you know this story, you're going to know this, that this was the day that David killed Goliath. This was the day that David saved a nation. But I don't want you to overlook those verses I told you about, because I don't want to overlook how David got to the battlefield, because it's something I've grazed over time and time again. Right? It's something I would speed read through, knowing what the good part of the story comes next. I wanted to get through those verses so I could read about David killing Goliath, right? It's one of those verses you kind of just overlook. You kind of, like when you have a lot of reading for school and your eyes start to glaze over and you kind of miss like a whole chapter and you've read it, but you don't know what you read. You know, those are the verses of how I viewed those verses. Right? Because if you look at commentaries, if you talk to theologians, they're all going to tell you the greatest event that David did, the greatest thing David did for his ascent to become king was killing Goliath. The greatest thing that ever happened for David to achieve his goal of being king was when he killed Goliath. And I used to think the same thing until one day God showed me something about those verses we just read. Until one day God showed me something. You know what? Jesse came to David and said, hey, David, can you do this errand for me? He said, hey, David, can you make this delivery for me? Hey, David, can you just find someone else to take care of those sheep? Because I got something important now for you to do. You got to go check on your brothers who are with the army. Your brothers, can you just do a couple, can you be my delivery boy? Until one day, David was called to serve his family again. It blows my mind. They forgot about David when the prophet was in town. Oh, but they remember David when they needed a servant, because that's who he was. He was a servant. And you have to understand something. David got to that battlefield because one day Jesse asked David to run another errand for him. But the thing is this, God doesn't look at what people look at. God looks at the heart. And David's heart was that of a servant. And I want to tell you something right now. David entered that battlefield not as a soldier. He didn't enter that battlefield as someone famous. He didn't enter that battlefield as someone popular. He didn't enter that battlefield as a great warrior. He didn't enter that battlefield as a king. He entered that battlefield that changed his life as a servant. And I'm telling you something, David knew that selfless service produces opportunities and growth. The biggest event happened in David's life. The opportunity came because he was a servant. Oftentimes, we want to kill the Goliaths, but we don't want to tend the sheep. Right? Sometimes we want to kill the Goliaths, but we don't want to spend time tending the sheep. Come on. Sometimes we want to kill the Goliaths. We want to do great things. We want to be famous. We want people to praise us. We want to change the world, but we refuse to get in the ground and tend the sheep. And I'm telling you, how can God ask us to do great things if we can't do simple things? Man, I grew up going to church. I'm 32 today. My dad has been pastoring the same church for 33 years. When they took over the church, my mom was pregnant with me. When I was born, 1 week after I was born, my mom was back on the piano leading worship. I did everything in that church growing up. I shoveled. I salted. I set up chairs. I set up tables. I ushered. I taught Sunday school. And then one day in college, I just totally gave my life to God. And I had this vision that I was going to preach in front of thousands. And my dad said, Jonathan, why don't you travel with me when I preach and you could pray? I didn't get mad. I didn't pray. I'm supposed to preach. You know what I did? Man, I prayed with every ounce of fiber I had in my body. A couple times later, he said, Jonathan, why don't you share your testimony? I didn't complain. You know what I did? Oh, I practiced my testimony. I was getting the best testimony ever anyone's ever heard. They said, Jonathan, can you give announcements at church? Oh, you know what I did? I listened to other people give announcements, so I give the best announcements. I promise you, I kid you not, after church, I would be walking after church, and people would walk up to me and say, wow, what a great service. I was like, yeah, my dad had a great word. I'm not lying. They said, no, what you said, and I'm giving announcements. And I do with everything I had in me. You know what? I never had to promote myself. I never had to create a website. I didn't have to beg people. All of a sudden, something started to happen. Opportunities started to arise. People started asking me to preach, to run organizations, to do this and do that. Why? Because selfless service produces opportunities. And I'm telling you, don't miss the opportunities God has for you. Maybe we need to spend less time self-promoting and more time serving selflessly. It's going to work out better for all of us. Maybe we need to spend less time self-promoting and more time serving selflessly. Selfless service doesn't just produce opportunities, though. What does it also produce? Growth, right? Selfless service produces opportunity and growth. And I want to continue the story. David gets on this battlefield. And he gets there, and he sees what's happening. He says, all right, I'm gonna fight Goliath. And they said, David, you can't fight Goliath. You're a youth. This guy's been whooping on people since he's a youth, and he's like 10 feet tall. And this is David's response. This is unbelievable. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal the lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. I love this part. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. This dude knew what he was doing. And I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. You got to understand what David's saying. When David was told he couldn't fight Goliath, David said this, oh, you don't understand. I don't think you understand what's been happening. As I have humbly and selflessly served my father tending the sheep, something happened. As I have continued to serve my father, the skills I needed to achieve my dreams were being developed in me as I served as a shepherd. Oh, I'm so happy that when I got anointed to become king, I didn't get too proud to be a shepherd. I'm so glad that when I got anointed to become king, I didn't follow the footsteps of my brothers and join the army. You know what? Last time I checked, everyone in the army, they're hiding from the enemy. But I'm so glad I stayed back. And when I was all by myself, when I was in the dirt serving the sheep, when everyone else looked like they were past me, no. I was developing the very skills I needed for God to use me to become the man he has called me to be. And David knew something happened. He said, listen, normally you would have a right to tell me not to fight him. But I've had my private victories. I've been alone. I've been desperate, and I kept my heart right, and I've had the private victories. And sometimes we want the public victories first, but they don't come until you have the private victories. David was qualified, not because he joined the army, not because he did what everyone thought he should have did, but because he served his family. Because selfless service produces opportunity, and it produces growth in our lives. In many times in life, we get so frustrated. We get mad at God. We get mad at life. We can't help but wonder why the situation hasn't changed, why this relationship hasn't improved, why this relationship hasn't come, why our finances are always a mess, why haven't I gotten this promotion, why haven't I gotten this? And we become so focused on things we want to do, and we get so frustrated at life that we lose focus on the opportunities God has around us. That we don't ever stop and think, who can I serve? The lonely student who sits by themselves every day? can't eat lunch with them? Your father, your mother, you can't serve them? Here at church, there's nothing you could do at this church. There's nothing you could do in your neighborhood, at your office. There's nothing you could do, even though your boss drives you nuts, even though your coworkers are driving you crazy. See, we get so frustrated at why we didn't get the promotion that we never step back to think, ooh, maybe God's calling me to serve someone. And we miss out on opportunities, and we miss out on the growth God wants to develop in our lives. I'll never forget, I was in high school, and I was a goofball, but I love people. I just love people, you know? And I was in high school, and I went to English class one day, and this girl sitting in front of me, she was just a mess, crying. I mean, she could not keep it together in class. And I heard that her boyfriend broke up with her, and the next day, tomorrow, was her birthday. And so you know what I did? I went home and told my mom. I said, Ma, I forgot to tell you, but I got to make a whole bunch of cupcakes for school tomorrow, so I'm going to be in trouble. Can you make me some cupcakes? So she made me a bunch of cupcakes. And I came to school the next day, and I waited till that English class. And I gave this girl a box of cupcakes for her birthday. I just served somebody. It changed my teacher's outlook. It changed people's outlook. I'm telling you, we could serve. We could love people. It's not that hard. Because sometimes the breakthrough comes when we serve. Selfless service produces opportunity and growth. And I just want to end, and I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that God does a work in your heart right now. In fact, I think there's a couple people here who've had people speak negative words in your life that is affecting the way you view yourself. It's preventing you from doing things God has called you to do. And God's saying, it's time to stop being deceived by the lie. You need to begin to believe the truth. And I'm going to proclaim as I begin to pray that if that's you, if you've had past relationships that have scarred you, if you've had fathers or mothers or families that have changed how you view life, I'm telling you right now, God wants to bring healing and deliverance, but it's going to come when you step out in faith and you begin to serve tomorrow. When you're on that road driving to work, and an opportunity to serve comes, I'm telling you, God's going to bring healing in your life. And some of you right now are so concerned about the future. Listen, I work with college students all the time. I understand how it is to be in college, how it is to pay college bills, to get accepted to school, to get a job, to move on with your life. You feel like you have no clue what you're doing, and you're expected to do so much, and we get so focused on the task at hand that we're walking by opportunity after opportunity. We're walking by someone who's hurt, someone who's broken, someone who needs love, a place to serve, and we need God to open our eyes and say, listen, it's not just about me in this world. I have a greater purpose than to make my life great. I have a purpose to change the lives around me. And I'm just going to begin to pray. Lord, I just pray right now for those people who are hurt, for those people who are stuck believing the lie. I just command depression right now to be released. I speak against those hurts from that father, that anger he didn't know how to control. Those words he said, I just speak a release right now. And Lord, I thank you that the truth is you don't see us the way we even see ourselves sometimes. You see the truth that we are important. I just speak right now that you have a lot to offer. There's someone sitting here right now, I'm telling you, when I say you have a lot to offer, they say not me. And I'm saying, no, that's specifically the person I'm talking to. You have something to offer. And it's important for you to do it. For you to serve. And I just speak right now for us. Lord, take the blinders off our eyes. God, forgive me for getting so concerned with my finances, so concerned with my career, so concerned with my family that I miss opportunity after opportunity to serve. Lord, I just pray right now that we would be released to serve and you would bring great opportunities and great growth in our lives. Lord, I thank you that you haven't made a mistake when you made us, that you love us, and that you have a wonderful plan for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. It was an honor to be here. I appreciate you guys. You have an awesome church. Thank you, Aaron, for inviting me.
Come on. Was that a good word tonight? Amen. Amen. If I can have the youth leaders just come on up front. Jonathan and Nikki, if you could come stand back up front too. If any of that just touched your heart tonight, or maybe you're just sitting there and you just don't, you know, sometimes I feel like, well, I don't know how to do that, or what do I, you know, just that little like urge to serve kind of thing. If you want just prayer and help with that kind of thing, just come on up and let these guys pray over you. If he said something tonight that just really impacted your heart, your spirit, you know, come up and let them know, pray, let them pray over you. But don't be afraid to let somebody stand with you and pray with you. That's so good. Selfless acts of love. Selfless acts of service. So good. Let's just pray before we end. God, I thank you so much for your word tonight. I just pray that you'll seal that on our hearts. You'll seal that in our minds, God. Help us to see others the way that you see others. Help us to love others the way that you love others, God. And help us to learn how to put others first, God, with those small, selfless acts of love. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything tonight, just come on up.
This is such an incredible moment tonight. Jonathan, that was an amazing message tonight. I just feel in my heart, you know, when you were talking about serving when you were young, and so many of us, we didn't have the opportunity that you had. But I believe that tonight there's a moment of impartation here. And I just want to ask some of the young people, and I want to ask some of the adults as well, that if you want that level of impartation in you, that selfless serving, that gift from God that opens up great opportunities in life, before we end tonight, just take a moment. Come on down here right now. Come down. Don't make anybody beg you or twist your arm. Just, I'm going to close here. We prayed, but I just felt, I told them I wasn't going to come up and do a thing tonight, but this is such an incredible moment here that I sense tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing here tonight. From the youngest to the oldest, Lord, you are so, so concerned, and you're so intimately wanting to be involved in every life, God. May you have that impact on every heart and on every life, God, tonight. I give you thanks for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. You need prayer before you leave? Come on down here. I love you. Didn't these guys do great tonight? Just amazing. But listen, take the opportunity. Let this moment be real for you. I love you.